When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Now, here's Justin Fielder, Derek Stafford, and Tyler Schaefer.
Hello and welcome to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. This is a Herd at Sports podcast. Justin here along with the cousins, Derek and Tyler. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Husker Cuzcast for all podcast updates and more. Gentlemen, we are back. How's it going?
It's great to be back.
Back better than ever.
Hell yeah. So for our listeners out there, we are in preparation of spring football coming up with the next month. We are going to do weekly podcasts, or at least try to do weekly podcasts till probably the week after the spring ball. So you will be hearing our voices a lot more if you choose to, and we appreciate you for listening to us. So tonight we're going to be talking some playoff expansion news that's come out, and we're going to talk about some non-conference opponents. We might get into like a little bit of this Jerky Wars controversy, which is pretty crazy out there. But getting into the playoff expansion, so they finalized the playoff expansion with a 12-team playoff, which we knew was coming for 2024 and 2025, with this 5-7 model, where you have five automatic qualifiers and seven at-large. Tyler, take us through this. What do you think here? Talk to us about it.
Well, I mean, I feel like we've talked about this in the past. You know, the playoff expansion is not my cup of tea. I like college football the way it is. I have never understood why they went from 4 to 12 from any kind of practical purposes. But if you were going down the model of having this expanded playoff, I think the format generally makes sense with the 5 automatic and the 7 at large. Like, I don't... There's no need to have 6 automatic qualifiers anymore as the conferences kind of dwindle down. So I think that kind of makes sense to say the top 5 there. And yeah, I mean, I think the format, if you are going to do it, generally makes sense.
Well, it guarantees the group of 5 will always have at least one team in the playoff, right? So that's good. Derek, your thoughts on the finalization of this?
I like most of it. I'm kind of with Tyler here. I don't know how it went from 4 to 12. And then we'll get into the talks of the 14. Like, we haven't played one with 12 yet, and we're already talking expanding it more, which I don't understand. But here's my only two complaints about the way this playoff is set up. So the group of 5 team, while they're an automatic qualifier, they're not like an automatic 5 seed from the way I understand it. So they could end up being a 12 seed, even after winning their conference championship. And I think that's stupid. Give them the 5 seed. What is everybody so scared of going to Liberty for? Like, give them the home game.
Well, I mean, it's the whole question. I mean, do they deserve a home game? Like, does the group of 5, why?
Well, they won their conference championship.
But 1 through 4, they're going to be seeded. Yes. They're going to be seeded even... So,
yes, I mean, but they will be automatically 1 through 4 just for winning their conference championship game. They don't have to be ranked 1 through 4. They just got to be
the top four conference
champions, which is going to be the Big 10, SEC, Big 12, and ACC.
But that 12 seed let's say we go your way, Derek, that 12 seed, that most years they will be the happiest mofos in that playoff. 12 seed would be the magic.
Probably. I just don't see where.
I think you have to seed them where they.
I just say give them the 5 seed. Give them the 5 seed, and then give the let Michigan or Penn State or Alabama travel to Liberty. Let them do it. Those teams should dominate no matter where that game is.
And that's the whole thing. I mean,
there should be no fear of playing it. Let that school have that one thing.
It would be great for that program, right? Imagine the revenue, the people on campus, absolutely. All that. Like, it's done. We're moving to this. It is going to be ridiculous to see this expanded playoff come to fruition when you're going to see the fourth team in the Big Ten make the playoffs and the third team in the SEC make the playoffs. Like, it is, if you look at the, you know, Jeffrey the Greek put a tweet out and kind of said, like, hey, how is this actually going to probably break? It's probably going to be 3 to 4 SEC teams. He said 3.5, 3.3 Big 10, 2.2 ACC, 2 Big 12 in a group of 5. Like, it's going to be 8 teams most years from the Big 10 SEC, which is...
And that's fair.
It's just stupid. The regular season is so moot at that point. If the fourth team in your conference is getting in the playoffs.
Well, here's my other complaint. So now the automatic qualifiers, the top four seeds, get a bye, which is cool, I guess. I understand that. And it's great for the team itself. But then 5 through 8 get a home game? 1 through 4 don't even get a home game? How stupid is that?
I'm okay with it.
It's dumb.
Why is it dumb?
Because why shouldn't, I mean, a town like Lincoln or State College or even Ohio State, why shouldn't they get that chance to have that home revenue?
You can just lose a couple of games in the regular season, and you could be a 5 through 8 seed.
So then you're alluding to what Tyler is saying, that the regular season really don't mean shit because you're better off being a 5 seed than a top 4 seed.
I think you're better off having a bye than
a bye would be.
Yeah. Are you?
Yes, because 100% you're better off. You make it through the first round.
You're getting a bye week the week before by not playing in the conference championship.
Well, I mean, it is just a very apparent. This is all about the money, which is fine.
And the other part of it is that, like, you go play for a conference championship, it's great for the winner, but what's it do for the loser? Now, all of a sudden, he probably dropped down to like a 10 seed, 11 seed. Now he's got to go to a road game.
Playoff game if you lose.
Probably not. So there'll probably be other qualifiers that didn't play in a championship game get jump ahead of them.
Look, they have a lot to figure out on all of the seeding and stuff and, like, what conferences choose to do with conference championship games because – they will become meaningless.
I'm okay. Don't get me wrong. I'm okay with the top four seeds getting a bye. I'm just saying, take the quarterfinals and let it be a home game too.
So, I may not have saw this. Did they release the calendar? Like, what are the sequence of events?
Yes, I sent the link out, Tyler. But you don't ever read my text. But the New Year's Eve games are back into session for the next couple of years. So the quarterfinals will be happening on New Year's Eve in 2024 and 2025. I'm not a big fan of New Year's Eve games, especially the evening games. But I mean,
I don't know why not. What do you really do on New Year's? I usually sit with family and watch football and drink beer and play cards.
Yeah, you're playing cards, not focusing on the game. I don't want distractions when I watch these playoff games. I don't know. I'm just not.
Maybe if it was Nebraska, I could play cards and pay attention to the game enough.
But yeah, so I don't have it open. But yeah, this playoff is stretched over like 3.5 weeks. But guys, Tyler, you've already alluded to this. Five automatic bids is not, or is the right amount, right?
Yeah, I mean, what else do you do, right? What else
do you Derek, do you think five automatic bids is enough? Maybe under a 12-team playoff. You think more?
Under a 12-team playoff, five is perfect. I mean, it's what it should be. You take your top four conferences and you give one to the group of five.
So now, I just don't like where they're seeding the group of five. Justin's going to want eight. He's going to want, like, all these group of five teams, group of seven, whatever the hell many conferences are now. They all get a shot.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's room for six if we expand. And let's just talk about the talks to a 14-game or a 14-team playoff or perhaps even a 16-team. Once you go that route, you need to go six automatic qualifiers. You need to stretch that out to give the group of five a couple of berths. Have 14 teams, might as well. I mean, in 2019...
No!
So in 2019... Seven teams from the group of five finished in the top 25. In 2020, six teams finished in the top 25.
How many were in the top 15?
Let's say, like, in 2022, Tulane finished number 9. Troy finished 19. In 2021, Houston finished 17. That's what they finished. I mean, I don't know what they finished. I was kind of lazy and I didn't look at what the rankings were headed into the playoff. These were the final standings. So if they lost, I mean, in 2020, BYU was 11. Coastal Carolina, they had that spectacular year. They finished 14th. Liberty's was 17th. I mean, just there a lot of years. There's going to be two group of five teams that are deserving if they win their conference. Why not? If you have 14
this last
teams,
year,
yes, last year was an exception. SMU and Liberty, right? But other years, it's, I mean, look, 5 years ago in 2019, seven teams finished in the top 25. UCF,
how many finished in the top
15? Scott Frost, your savior, Scott Frost.
One. We're not saying one can't make it. We're letting one in.
Yeah.
There's everyone.
You say we're letting one.
We're letting one in. Like, it's just, I mean, let's start letting in an FCS. I mean, it's not apples to apples. The Big Ten and the SEC are far more competitive conferences. Like, it is not the same as going undefeated in this group of five. This isn't, I know you want to give everyone a participation trophy. I know you do. Like, you just, everyone gets a trip. It doesn't matter what's actually, like, on the field. Let's just give everyone one. Like, let's start having D2 teams in the playoffs. Why not? We have 28 teams, which is where we're eventually going.
I'm all for at least some postseason for everybody. Because I would love to see, after your playoff, you take your top-seeded SEC teams to your lowest-seeded SEC team and let them play all the Big Ten teams.
That would be fine. Yeah, I'm all for bowl games.
And do that for bowl games.
Yeah.
I think that'd be phenomenal.
Sign them up. I have no qualms.
I don't care if your record's 0-12. You're in.
But when you're talking about
playing 1-11 Vanderbilt.
Like, look at Florida State this last year. Like, Florida State got their quarterback injured and derailed their chance at a national championship. Like, there's going to be a team that's probably worthy, and all of a sudden they're going to get their quarterback ankle tore up. And I know it's football, and I know that's there, but do we really need to see that against Liberty? Like, do we really need it? No. No, Justin. Stop your everyone gets a trophy thing.
It's not. It's you're opening it up. Let them play. So you're against it. Even if they expand to 14 teams, you're against two automatic qualifiers. Even if they go to 16 teams, two automatic qualifiers to get the group of five teams in.
I think that the what I had read about Yahoo Sports.
You were just complaining about the fourth team from the Big Ten, fourth team from the SEC getting in.
I think all of this expansion is stupid. If you're going to do it, you might as well let the best teams play. Like, I don't.
Okay, then let's just do it then. Take all your four top conferences and start your own division of football.
Yes. Okay. It's not four conferences. Not four. It's two. It's two conferences. That's the only thing that matters, the Big Ten SEC. The Big 12 is not relevant. They don't even, they barely deserve an automatic qualifier. But, like, this is just, it. We college football is now NFL light. Let's just,
well, I guess you could just raid them and let them become nothing. But you can't have the chance of playoffs without a Miami or a Florida State or a Clemson.
You won't worry about it. They'll be in the SEC before long.
I mean, I guess if that's what happens, then we'll go to two. And then we'll split it into four divisions and have four conferences that way instead.
So in the end, I think...
But we'll call them divisions instead.
I think playoff expansion is great for college football. 14 teams is awesome.
So where does it end, Justin? I have for you is, what's the number? So is 14 enough? Is that enough?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with 12. I'm okay with 12. If they want to go to 14, yes, go 14. But if they go to 14, I want to see an extra team from the group of five have an automatic berth.
That's not the proposal. The proposal is one group of five. That's all that's going to get in there. So 14.
But nothing's ironed out. Nothing is ironed out.
Oh, yeah, like the group of five always get a seat at the table. Like, they really get to drive these decisions, Justin.
Well, they have to leave an open qualifier for Notre Dame.
Yeah. And if if they don't finish in the top 14, then Liberty, you're in. You're in, baby.
So when inevitably they go to 16 teams, you'll be like, okay, that now we're too many. Like, or no, you're missing, that's good. That's good. Okay.
If they go to 16 teams, I think every conference champion should get a seat at that table.
It won't happen.
That's why I'm okay with just two. Got to fight for the little
guy. If they go to 16, I think you have to get rid of conference championship games at that point.
Probably.
Aren't you almost there kind of already?
I've been saying get rid of them for a while because they're meaningless half the time anyway.
But, I mean, at this expanded, like, they're really meaningless.
Yeah. I don't see the point of the conference championship anymore.
I mean, you basically are playing a game to see if you can get a bye. I mean, to the point earlier, like, that's it. The loser, yeah. That really sucks. Because they would have been in
tell
anyway.
Georgia that the playoff conference championship is meaningless.
That's true.
It didn't affect them the year before that, did it?
No, but this year it certainly did.
Okay, so 50% of the time it affects them.
So
it's about how often and that's the whole thing, is the committee changes it every friggin' year on when it matters.
Of course they do.
So
that's the annoying part. So
and then you can leave an undefeated team out of it because.
Well, I mean, the Florida State thing is different. I do think the conference championships have generally mattered. I mean, I think the difference is sometimes these winners and losers, like, they have such a far lead. Like, it's not fair. Like, it's not, you can't look at this and say they change the rules every year because every season's different. Like, it's not the same exact, everything matched up the exact same every single year.
No, but they literally make it to fit their narrative.
Yeah.
Well,
you remember the first year Ohio State made it in.
You
remember the first year Ohio State made it in because the Big 12 tried to have co-champions. And since they didn't have a championship game, they were left out of it.
Yes, that year.
And then the following year, it was, well, we're going to put Alabama and Georgia both in, even though one of them lost a championship game.
Again, I mean, Georgia didn't make it this year. I don't think that that's them changing the profile. I think that was a situation of...
Well, they couldn't. Like, they could not put two SEC teams in this year. There was absolutely no way. If they put two SEC teams, there would have been riots.
There basically was. But poor Florida State. Get out of that crappy conference. Get to a real conference, guys.
So, but the thing is if that had been Clemson, they wouldn't have been. Clemson would not have been left out.
I think they would have. They were going to get Bama in the playoffs. They knew it was Saban's last year. They wanted him in the playoffs.
So let's bring this to Husker football, because Matt Rhule, he had some comments regarding Power 5 scheduling for non-conference opponents. So he doesn't feel that, you know, as the conferences, as they move along, that they should kind of stick together for the same type of scheduling. And he says there's no reason to schedule a Power 5 non-conference opponent. Tyler, how do you feel about this?
Kind of like all of this, I'm just sad. Like, I love good football in September. Like, I don't look forward to a September in the near future where we have no Power 5 versus Power 5 games. Like, that is going to be a really depressing 2 to 3 week stretch in football. Like I mean, you're going to turn on and, like, wait for that one group of five team to upset, and the other 18 games are going to be a 30-point blowout, like, which is exactly what the playoffs would be if Justin gets his way, but you'll have that one upset. But it's sad. It sucks. I mean, I like the – I would love there to be a, you know, Big Ten SEC challenge in September. Like, that would be such a great day of football, is or overspread over 3 weeks. Like, have all these really great matchups and move forward. And, like, that would be some great TV revenue. Like, and what I don't understand about this, because Matt Rhule's right. Let's clarify this. He is 100% right. There is no reason to schedule a good non-conference. I mean, you want to talk about college football committee? One thing they have specified, they give no benefit to who you play in non-conference.
Yeah.
Like, Michigan, I don't even think they played. I mean, did they even play non-conference?
No Power 5 teams.
I mean, they basically had 3 bye weeks.
But. Yeah, and so it doesn't matter. All you can do is lose, and then that hurts you. Wins don't matter. So Matt Rhule's right, but it's another mark, and, like, man, college football is just, it's changing, and I don't love all the changes.
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of what he said has to do with the Pac-12 teams that are coming over to the Big Ten, just making the conference that much more difficult to get through, yeah. Right? So his point is valid, right? Why add unnecessary risk when you're already going to go through a meat grinder of a schedule year in, year out? The Big Ten Conference did not water down the conference with the teams that they added between Oregon, Washington, USC, and I guess I'll give UCLA some credit, even though I don't respect them. But the conference it got tougher, right? So why play somebody in non-con? I mean, it's going to be boring for the season ticket holders, you know. Maybe golf gets extended an additional 3 or 4 weeks for most people during September, where they'd usually be camped in their house watching football on Saturdays. Maybe you spend a little bit more time on the golf course, so that's kind of a good thing. But Derek, what are you thinking here?
I mean, I agree with everything Tyler said, and I agree with everything Matt Rhule said. It makes sense not to schedule these tough games. The committee proved so much by what they did with Michigan last year, because that was the weakest non-conference schedule I think I've ever seen a team play that wasn't named Baylor or Kansas State. So with that being said, they still made it to the playoff. They still went as a number one seed. There was no pushback for having a weak schedule. So yeah, Matt Rhule is 100% correct. Why would I schedule Tennessee, which we have up in 28, 29, I believe, something like that. 26, 27, maybe. Anyway, whenever we have Tennessee in our future schedule. Why would I schedule those guys? Why would I risk losing that game when I could just pad my stats and play Northern Iowa?
Yeah.
So do you guys think we all know a lot of college football has moved this way because of money. Like, at what point do the networks step in and say, guys, like, I get it, but we're not paying you all this freaking money to watch Alabama versus
Alabama A&M?
Yeah, like, I mean, we're not.
Hold on. They play Citadel every year.
I know they do.
They just usually wait till November to play them.
But the difference is usually you could turn to a different game. Like, unless you really get weird with conference schedules and you start staggering Big Ten, like, every weekend of September, like.
Which may happen. You already see it most weeks anyway, because they've already been scheduling, peppering in week one, week two Big Ten games.
I know. It's just.
And I don't think that's going away.
But again, one or two games and having the other garbage games just And again, obviously, we're watching the Nebraska games, and we'll be excited.
If we can only win by 40 points.
So, you know, I kind of alluded to this, but Matt Rhule, he's talking about he just wants everybody to be consistent, you know? If people are playing one Power 5 team, then everybody should play one Power 5 team. So, yes.
And I, again, I agree with that.
I agree.
And I
agree,
Tyler, I want to tell you this. Like, I know you don't love the thought of be playing these easy games, but come on, how great would it be to watch a Nebraska game when they won by 40 points, like 42 to nothing, or score 70 points and win like 70 to 14, when the only 14 points were scored against your backups? Like, I know it's boring, but how great would it be to see, be able to see that again from Nebraska?
Well, it would be great, and that's the thing.
Because we're not doing that right now, not even against the bad teams.
No, we're not. We're not. And the argument shouldn't be, though, like, hey, is Tyler going to watch the Huskers? Because of course I am. The question is, if from a college football perspective, is am I going to not go golfing on Saturday? Hey, we have a 2:30 kickoff. I can go get – do I stay at home to watch the 11 o'clock games? Yeah, no, not really. Like, that's the argument. It's
and typically I don't do that anyway. Typically in September I'm going golfing in the morning and coming home for a 2:30 kickoff anyway.
Oh, see, I'll if the game
unless there's some really good games, but typically in the first 3 weeks, even if there is really good games, they're probably on in the evening.
They are. That's fair.
So Nebraska plays Colorado next year. We're still going to play Colorado. Play Cincinnati in 2025. But some other teams that are on the schedule in the future, Tennessee, Arizona, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State. So at least, I'm going to say three of those teams, I would love to see a non-conference matchup. I'd like to see Tennessee. I do want to play Oklahoma again, and I would not mind playing Oklahoma State. Arizona, I don't really give a shit about. But
that could be a fun little trip in September.
That could.
And, I really don't give a shit about the Cincinnati.
No.
But that game is not in jeopardy. That game's going to happen, right? But those
is
other...
It?
Yeah. From what it said, 24 and 25, those schedules are locked. So when you move forward, if the scheduling becomes thing... I mean, we could lose Tennessee because play Tennessee in 26 and 27...
So here's one of my big questions on how this is going to work, and I don't expect you guys to have an answer for it, but like right now you always play a Power 5 team and you do a home and home. Are we really going to do a home and home with like Ohio?
No, we'll just get more home revenue.
Or so we're just going to take more home games.
Yes.
Every year.
Right? I mean, I don't see us all of a sudden changing and doing a road game.
Hey, maybe we get a home and home with Liberty. Liberty Bimberty.
You should be punched in the face for that.
And that was bad. I mean, and again, ultimately, I guess more home games is good. I mean, that's fun, good for fans.
Yeah, I mean.
Do you see us? It
limits you as a fan. Like, not that I travel a ton to go watch Nebraska play on the road, but I know you tend to like to do that, Tyler.
I do.
Yeah. And so it limits you. I mean, all of a sudden... I mean, yeah, you're going to have all the Big Ten stadiums, I guess.
We have a lot.
Now there's 18 of them, so there's going to be a lot of them.
I'll go out to some California and Oregon and Washington.
Tell me it wouldn't still be kind of cool to go to Arizona. Well, that's not
it would.
Anymore.
But I'm not going to go to Liberty. I'm not.
Let's be truthful. I do not want to play Liberty right now.
Yeah, true that.
That's fair. But, like, I'm not going to go, like, shy of it being a really cool location. Like, I'm probably not traveling to a lot of the
How downbeaten are Nebraska fans that we're scared to play Liberty?
I just want to win, guys. I just want to win a couple games.
Go down
just get
to
me to a
New Mexico. Play New Mexico State.
I don't know. Jerry Kill might kick our ass. I don't know.
I think he had to step away again. Yeah.
I thought he got canned.
No, he didn't get canned. Health problems. Again.
I thought he did relatively good
this
year.
He did excellent this year.
They played Minnesota in the bowl. Did they?
10-win season.
Did they play Minnesota in a bowl?
I thought they played them in non-conference, I thought.
Oh, maybe that's right.
So, let's see here. With the evolution of the expanded playoff, should conferences reduce the number of non-conference opponents that they face? Conferences are getting bigger. The Big Ten's moving to 18 teams. SEC, they'll be growing. And who knows how all this conference realignment shakes out, you know? Pac-12 is no more. So should conferences just move to 10 conference games schedules, Derek?
I'm going to lean towards yes, as long as all of them do it. Like, it needs to be fair across the board. Like if the Big Ten's going to do it, the SEC needs to do it. And whatever other conferences still exist at that point need to do it. Then yes, I think they should. Should the Big Ten do it and nobody else? No, I don't think so. But yes, it would. That would kind of alleviate your three non-conference games being garbage teams, right? Like you only got two of them, so now we don't have to worry about who's getting what. Remember, you guys got to remember. I mean, 20 years ago, we played four non-conference games.
Yeah.
So it was easy to schedule Power Five games. I mean, it was just easier. And you still got your patty cake games. You just with having to play nine teams out of a conference like what the Big Ten's turned into, when you add USC, Oregon, Washington, and UCLA, suddenly that becomes a very, very tough conference. I mean, it was already tough to begin with, but now, I mean, it's insane.
Tyler.
I mean, I said this kind of offhand, but I think the answer is you need someone to step in and create forced crossover games. Like, I think it's, if you're not going to do that, then 10's fine. But the concern is right now that the football is becoming a little bit regionalized. And we'll see if A&M comes up to Nebraska, but like right now there is a Mason-Dixon line in college football, and there's Big Ten everywhere else, and then there's the South. And like it would be nice to create some more crossover for viewership.
Tyler, I'm 1,000% on board with you. If we can get a crossover between Big Ten and SEC, top to bottom, you know, like they do in basketball with the ACC and Big Ten, like I'm all on board all day long. Let's do it. But if they're not going to do that, then I do think they should go to 10.
I just think that the thing with the 10 teams is it's better for TVs because it'll give us better games, but it's still going to beat you up. And is it going to really help your case for the college football playoffs? I mean, again, do we need another game against Rutgers in the schedule to make it feel complete? Like, that's a tough game. I'm not disrespecting Rutgers, but like, it's a tough game. Again, I'm not opposed to it. Then do you go to 11 games to give an extra bye week? I just worry about the wear and tear and what you're getting for return on that if you go to 10 conference games. And I guess one of the advantages is you get such a big conference, is there's going to be years in between some matchups. Yeah, but
it's really not going to be different if you're not scheduling a Power 5 team.
I guess. Yeah, you're right.
You're essentially going to have the same thing that you're doing now. You're going to play. What's that?
That's going to break their heart. Michigan's going to have to play 10 teams.
They got Texas this year on their schedule.
So they'd take a couple years off to get ready for that one?
I guess. They got Texas and Washington. And then Wisconsin has Alabama this year.
I mean, I know we've talked about this with just the Big Ten expansion, but the schedules you're seeing line up for some of these teams are just insane. Like, I mean, the fact that we're playing USC and UCLA, and it's just, conference games now.
Speaking of USC, they got a monster schedule this year. They have to play LSU, Ohio State.
Yeah.
And they have Notre Dame at the end of the season.
Because what is Notre Dame going to do here?
They have to join a conference. Like, dude, they have to see the writing on the wall. You can't, I mean, they're going to have to be ranked probably a top 14 anyway to get in the playoff, which is whatever. But to never have a chance at an automatic qualifier.
Never for a bye. They'll never get a bye.
They'll never get a bye. They'll never be an automatic qualifier. They will never be an automatic qualifier the way things are set up right now.
So speculation is coming out that that Big Ten is targeting Notre Dame, or Notre Dame is considering joining the Big Ten along with Texas A&M. Are you guys hearing this stuff? What are your thoughts here, Derek?
There's some Twitter rumors going around about it. I would love it. I mean, Notre Dame has been the golden pony for the Big Ten for long before Nebraska joined the Big Ten. And Texas A&M, if we're going to go down to Texas, Texas A&M would be the team I would want. I don't want Texas coming in here ruining the conference, demanding all their shit. Texas Tech ain't worth, they're just not good enough.
What about Baylor? God, could that be trash?
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Baylor would probably be my number two pick, I guess.
Over then Texas, TCU?
Whew. Yeah, I'd probably take Baylor over TCU.
Houston? Oh, man.
Oh, definitely over Houston.
I'd take Baylor. That'd be my number one.
I'm also looking at, if I were to travel down to the Texas game, where do I want to go? And I'm going to tell you right now, College Station's a beautiful place, and it's a fun place to be.
It's not beautiful, but...
That's pretty. It's a nice place. You got to stay out of Bryan. Go to College Station. College Station's decent. But if you're going to give me a choice between College Station and Austin, I'm taking College Station all day.
Over Austin.
Bar scene in Austin's better.
I don't care about the bar scene. Austin is better.
Yeah, there's a lot of crap in Austin. I never did like Austin very much.
I'll give you that. All right. Moving on, guys, the silliest thing hit social media this week with some crazy thing that's being labeled as jerky wars. So Pipeline Jerky, they've been out a while. They've had this NIL initiative. So Nebraska's 1890 initiative, this is Nebraska's NIL 1890. So they introduce their own beef jerky, which pissed off Husker Twitter. Leave it to Husker fans to attack their own NIL initiative in this whole matter. But they introduced this jerky, and it's like it becomes a huge, crazy nonsense. Tyler, what are you thinking of when you see all of this banter going back and forth between the 1890 and Pipeline?
I mean, it is the most ridiculous thing I've seen. I mean, we have another initiative designed to get money to athletes. I really don't even know if I like talk about this. There are some people that money might be leaving their pockets, and it's not the athletes. That is entirely what the frustration's about here. This is not about there being two jerky companies.
So you're saying people are complaining because they may be losing money. Is that what you're saying?
I think there's an element of that. I think there's an element of Pipeline Jerky is a good product. I've had it. I enjoy it. They've done a really good job of connecting themselves to a lot of vocal people. A lot of our friends in the podcast community are well connected there. So I want to be delicate to them. And they've done a good job of networking with them and partnering with them, and it's great. And so you have a lot of vocal that. And then I think it's really easy to shit on the rich people. I think it's really easy to be like, oh, the peds are doing all this. And I don't hear people bitching when we get Dylan Raiola. I don't think Pipeline Jerky wasn't the reason we pulled him. Like, so I think it's kind of easy to bag on the rich at times. And again, and be like, they don't care. Like, they're giving money to athletes. What the hell are we complaining about here?
And let's not forget, like, the Pete family, they're already doing beef jerky anyway. They were doing selling beef jerky long before, right?
Right. There's like, yeah, it's not like they went out and just acquired a beef jerky, you know, company just to fuck with the pipeline jerky. This isn't some, there is no conspiracy here. There is nothing. It's like, hey, we have a product. Oh, we sell other stuff. We do golf balls. We do a bunch of stuff, but we'll do beef jerky too. That's great. And world blew up. So yeah, I think those are the three reasons. I think some people might be losing a little bit of money. I think pipeline's really well respected. Well, I think it's really easy to shit on the Peds.
Let's face it. All that needs to happen is Nebraska to start playing football again, and everybody will forget about jerky. No one will give a shit about this in August.
Derek, I don't think you're. I think you're wrong. I think this is a, like, every time. God, if they put,
we always find jerky, something to bitch about in the off season.
Well, that's exactly it's
always
what
this something
is.
Stupid.
With
yeah, it's always something stupid that we're going to find a bitch about, and that's all this is. Wow. Now I could be wrong on this, but I think Pipeline Jerky was started by Cam Jurgens, right? No? Okay, maybe that was the story. That guy at his work was telling me that story the other day. Was that he thought that Cam Jurgens had started this when he was still here.
I mean, he might have been like the first athlete like partnering with them.
Okay, maybe that's what it was. I don't know. He was trying to tell me he started. Okay. Either way, it's been around for a while. It's established. But again, I'm with you guys. Like, what are you complaining about? They're both giving money to athletes. Like, the Pipeline Jerky is giving money to 1890. 1890 is paying athletes. So who cares?
So if you look at the website,
I refuse to even, if I even see any of this on Twitter, I scroll past it as fast as the ads on it. Because I don't care.
It was 3 days where you couldn't even avoid it. So this is where it gets interesting, because if you go to the website, 1890 Initiative, and Tyler, you kind of alluded to this, it's not like the 1890 Initiative, it's not like this is their only thing, their only product that they're selling, right? They have all kinds of apparel, like sweatshirts, beanies, t-shirts, hats. You talk about golf balls, they have coolers on there. But beef jerky goes too far. But
I will say this. So you have all this stuff. Was it really necessary to advertise the beef jerky? Couldn't you just advertise something else?
It's just
and maybe still sell the beef jerky?
So this is what Pipeline Jerky does. According to their website, they chip a portion of their proceeds right into the offensive line NIL, right? Just a portion. They chip in a portion, right? 1890, yeah. Their website says, all proceeds of every sale goes to Husker student athletes. That's the big difference. So 1890, they're giving all proceeds away to student athletes, where Pipeline Jerky is chipping in a portion of their proceeds.
That's fair. That's fine. But again, if you were 1890 and you have all this apparel and all these things, you probably could have just thrown in a sweatshirt or some golf
balls.
But
again, they have.
They're like, look at all this stuff we have here.
But
you didn't necessarily have to advertise the beef jerky, I guess.
I want there to be a third beef jerky company.
Yeah. Why start a war that didn't need to be there?
I don't think they were starting a war.
There's multiple beers that donate to Nebraska Athletics.
Should one? I mean, it's
the lager.
Cornhead lager,
and then,
right?
And good old Nebraska Brew.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Should one like company have a monopoly over all of the NIL?
No. No, but 1890 probably shouldn't start advertising beer over them.
But they do.
They do. They have Cornhead Lager.
They have Cornhead Lager.
Oh, well, whatever. I don't give a
shit. This is the stupidest
thing. I don't even know why we're talking about this.
I don't either.
The reason we're talking about this is because Justin wants the show to go an hour instead of 40 minutes.
Oh.
No, he's trying to get us canceled. Because he damn well knows that all of our friends are huge Pipeline Jerky supporters. And he wants me to get more hate mail. It's been a while since I've got hate mail. And I'm going to get probably told on Twitter that I don't know what I'm talking about. And again, I love Pipeline Jerky. This is not it. I just feel like people need to take a Xanax and just calm down a little bit.
I was completely fascinated by it. All the banter going back and forth. It was entertaining.
I literally didn't hardly see any of it.
It was bad.
I didn't get on Twitter. I just stayed off. I didn't care.
All right. So last thing here, we happened to record today, but Frozen Beers at Frozen Beers on Twitter, he tweeted at us today and he has a question. Is what we're seeing out of Matt Rhule dunk contest showing up at other athletic games, is this just a personality difference between Frost and himself, or is this what buying into the state and fan base looks like? Derek.
I have nothing.
You have nothing?
I have nothing. It's a personality difference. Who cares? Do you think Nick Saban was out letting kids dunk over his head? Hell no, he wasn't. Did that change anything? No.
It'd be easier to dunk over Nick Saban, right?
Over?
Compared to Matt Rhule? Yeah.
Matt Rhule's 4 foot tall. Probably not.
I don't know. I think Matt Rhule's got him. I think Matt Rhule's taller.
I don't know. At the end of the day, no, this has nothing to do with anything. It's awesome what Matt Rhule's doing. But at the end of the day, his best season matches Scott Frost's best season. Do I think Matt Rhule's a better coach? Probably. But let's win some friggin' football games and quit worrying about offseason shit. Let's get to spring ball and have something to talk about, like depth charts.
Tyler, who's at the basketball
game.
I mean, this is, what the fuck are we doing here, guys?
Come on.
Talk to me, Tyler. I mean, Scott Frost is gone. He's never coming back. Did Bo Pelini get dunked on? Did Tom Osborne get dunked on? Is that the bar of being a good coach at Nebraska? And first of all, I think Scott Frost did show up to athletic events.
Did he?
Yes. I mean, he got announced at basketball games. Matt Rhule has done a great job of enduring himself. He goes to Bucks Bar in Omaha for Polka Night. He goes out, he parties, he has a good time. He's done a good job connecting with the Nebraska coaches. I don't want to take anything away. I feel like this is just a cheap shot at Scott Frost for no apparent reason.
It doesn't have to be.
Let it be known that if for whatever reason Matt Rhule fails, it'll be because he's out partying too much and he's out doing other shit with other sports rather than paying attention to what the football team's doing.
Going to wrestling matches or soccer games or women's volleyball or women's basketball.
Yeah, he should be paying attention to what football's doing.
I'm talking about going to the bars, posting pictures on a regular basis at bars.
There was a lot of fans, and I don't know how many of them were actual Nebraska fans, that were sitting there posting about how stupid it was that these football players were in a dunk contest at halftime, and they should be focusing on football.
Well, that's a little crazy. I mean, it's like...
But there are people out there that think this.
Well, of course there are. We just talked about people that are complaining about fucking beef jerky. Of course they're going to complain, whoa, what's he dunking for? Why isn't he studying the playbook?
I mean, it's just, that's what I'm saying, though. Right now we're just in the board season that we're going to find anything to complain about.
And we're in the podcast business, Derek, so we will find anything to talk about.
No, we will not. We will find Husker-related stuff to talk about.
Hey, it's Husker-related. We're talking Matt Rhule. We're talking Scott Frost here.
Pipe jerky had nothing to do with...
That's Nebraska related.
Football. It's not related enough for me.
All right. Well, sorry that you're such a Debbie Downer. But guys, this has been fun. Hey, we're going to come back here every
week. Sorry you enjoyed that beef jerky war.
It was entertaining. I couldn't believe what the hell I was looking at on Twitter. I'm like, what are people complaining about? I couldn't figure it out. Like, why are people so upset?
I literally stayed off Twitter. When I started seeing that shit, I just stayed off Twitter. I've gotten good at that. I get on Twitter almost every day, but if I see something like that, I just stay off for a couple days. I have no interest in seeing stupid shit like that.
All right. Hey, We'll be back next week. Special thanks to our producer, Connor Russell, for putting this audio together for us. Be sure to follow the Husker Cuzcast on Twitter, at Husker Cuzcast. Like us on Facebook. Look for episodes anywhere you get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, and don't forget to rate and review. On behalf of Derek and Tyler, we want to thank everybody for listening. As always, go Big Red.